Francoise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to a lot of you. And our winner in the first hour, Frank. Welcome back to you, Frank. And everybody listening in this second hour, we shift to our travel mode. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello.
All right. So did you get all that information we were talking about together?
I did, yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Let's see. Lots of things happening. Of course, Prince Harry got married and to Meghan and Horace ran. Anyway, we talked about all that in the first hour. So we're going to move right along and talk about some travel stuff. Today's show is presented by Borrego Springs Golf Resort and Spa, only 90 minutes away for a total getaway. So you have fun out there. And we have some new contests on the website. Check it out. A two-night stay at the Omni Tucson National Resort. We have some restaurant coupons. And we also added a new segment to the show in the first hour of the show about events here in the Coachella Valley, courtesy of CoachellaValley.com. So check that out if you haven't checked it out. We also have some prizes to give away on this hour of the show. We have some couple blocks of short film vouchers. Short film vouchers for the Palm Springs International Short Film Festival in June. I have those vouchers, plus if you want to go to Cabot Museum, give me a call. I'll just give you a couple tickets to the Cabot Museum because if that's the excuse you're looking, that's your reason why you haven't been, I'm going to help you go. I have four passes for the Children's Discovery Museum. Anyway, we have a lot of stuff. So to get you out and about and do some things here in the Coachella Valley. Yesterday on KESQ, I wasn't there. I should be back next week. So, and you can always call the show if you just have something you want to chat about. 760-440-8255. All right. Here are some items I picked up that I thought were just a little bit interesting that we would chat about. The Golden Gate Bridge, they are raising their toll by 25 cents.
I saw that.
Yes. Now, it doesn't seem like a lot. We think a quarter. It's right. Just, yeah, what's a quarter? However, when you do the overall toll at any one time during the day, it could be $8 one way.
That's funny because when I saw that story, I heard that and I was like, did they say $8? And I didn't rewind it because I couldn't rewind it, but $8.
$8.
That feels like a lot.
It is a lot one way. But they're having a lot of financial difficulties up there in the San Francisco area. So the Golden Gate Bridge now, the toll begins July 1st. So you never really know what it's going to cost you. It's really going to depend on traffic. A lot of these toll roads and bridges now, they adjust their price according to the amount of traffic. The more traffic, of course, the more it costs. And the time when there's not that much car, you know, many cars out there, then it doesn't cost you as much. So anyway, be prepared to pay a little bit more. But you have to go over it. I mean, you have to do it. All right, and we're talking a little bit about the Hawaiian Islands, of course, Kilauea volcano. That has been so crazy to watch on television. I mean, that is as close to a volcano as I think, you know, we feel we're going to get.
The pictures are
wild.
And the video to where there was one that I saw that it looks like the ground is breathing.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of goes up and down, and it just looks like the ground is breathing.
And the news, I like to watch the World News Tonight with David Muir for, you know, national, across the globe. And their guys, that the reporters, we don't think about the reporters that are right there on the ground with this stuff spewing up behind them.
Just right behind them.
But I think of the gases, you know, they're really risking their lives, even though they have a gas mask handy.
Right.
Everybody does, or mostly everybody should at this point. But I think, wow, I give them a lot of credit. They say 22 lava vents have opened over 2 weeks since magma from the volcano shot through the neighborhoods. They say one of the lava vents, lava in one vent near the Leilani Estate subdivision was advancing at 300 to 400 yards per hour. That's a lot. Because I think of yards, I think of a golf hole.
Right.
Yeah. 400, 300 to 400 an hour.
It's
that
moving.
Is fast. That would be scary to watch this start coming down a hill and know. They say the volcano is far enough from homes and businesses that the ash has a little effect on life on Hawaii, on the Big Island, on Hawaii's Big Island. They say that but it's not far enough away from all those people over there. So anyway, it's kind of scary. It says Kilauea, one of the world's most active volcanoes, has been erupting on and off for hundreds of thousands of years, and it has been erupting continuously since 1983, with only occasional pauses of quiet activity. The latest episode again began on May 3rd, so it's not as if it hasn't been active.
Right.
But still, people don't think about it. They move near it. They put these farms and all these homes because of the beautiful view. And, wow, it'll be definitely scary. So if you're going to the Hawaiian Islands, I think I would certainly check, only because they say sometimes the air quality and the smoke and ash coming up might be a little bit problem for the airport and stuff. Just depends.
Right.
They say it all depends on which day the wind's blowing and all that sort of stuff. Isn't that really is? We're just looking at that. So is that what is really in the middle of the earth?
I would think so.
Is that it? I think that is it.
I would think so.
Remember when you were a kid and everybody was going to dig a hole to China?
The core, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to keep right on going, and we get down a couple feet and go, I'm tired. That's enough of that. Yeah, looks like dirt to me. But so is that what's bubbling? But yet they say there is a water table below that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because if the lava gets down into the water table, that could contaminate the water in the area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's quite fascinating, all of it, to just watch from afar. I don't think I'd want to be right next to it.
All right, I think I would like to just go to the edge and just see it, that's it.
Yeah, that's what that drone's doing, hanging right over the top of it coming down. You just take helicopters. They're being a little bit more careful now. But, yeah, if it wasn't so hot.
Right, that's the other thing, is the heat.
And you hope that one of those things just wouldn't just spew up in the moment you decide to bend over and look down in there.
Definitely in the wrong place, yeah.
Here's another one. Why doesn't the Leaning Tower of Pisa fall? That's a good question. I've been there. I've looked at it. It is leaning. It's one of the world's most famous buildings, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It has survived everything from four powerful earthquakes to two world wars. Now engineers have solved the mystery of how the building has managed to survive undamaged for centuries. Now, in the war thing, that was just a stroke of luck.
Right.
That it did not get destroyed.
Right.
I mean, that was just luck. But as far as the earthquakes goes, they say, ironically, the reason the tower is tilted is also why it survived for so long. The very same soil that caused the leaning instability and brought the tower to the verge of collapse can be credited for helping it survive all these earthquakes. The height and stiffness of the tower, along with the softness of the soil underneath it, reduces vibration in such a way that the tower doesn't shake during an earthquake.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That is cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty. I looked at that. I said, oh, really? Someone
just kind of wedged it in there a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And they say the building is such a structurally sound building that's why it's weathering time. And then the soft ground underneath. So there you go. Now when you go look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and everybody they do those fun pictures of standing off to the side now holding it up when you're really not holding it up. But they say it all has to do with the softness of the soil underneath. That's it. We should end right there with that fact. How many people know that? Now that you know that. All right. Okay. We also have Traveling with Francoise, a new I'm saying this, and cameraman Steve is probably cringing right now. Hi, Steve. I know he listens to the show. But we sent our next new episode off to closed captioning. Well, he did. I didn't, but he does that. And it should be back Monday, which gives it enough time to rotate into the Thursday show.
Right.
And this show is completely different than anything I've done. It's about cuisines around the world and where you can get them right here in the Coachella Valley, that they serve authentic dishes from these different places. Because all of the owners, which is really fascinating, all of the owners of the restaurants that we featured, there's three of them, they all come from different countries.
Right.
Or they have family in different countries.
Right.
So they really have an established portfolio of recipes from these countries. So it's really turned out really fun. I was real nervous about this episode, but it turned out to be a lot of fun. So Thursdays at noon, I'll send out an e-blast. It'll be on my website. I'll keep everyone posted, but I think you're going to like it, and you'll probably want to go out and eat. So anyway, we're going to step aside for a moment. When we come back, we have a lot more. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I'm Françoise Rose, your host, and joining us in the boardroom, as always, is Sean Flanagan. All right, now I do have some tickets to give. You can pick whatever you want. How's that? We have either two blocks of short film vouchers for the Palm Springs International Short Film Festival in June, or we have four passes to the Children's Discovery Museum in Rancho Mirage, or we have two passes, admission passes for the Cabot Museum. You don't get them all. You get to pick one of the three. How does that sound? 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. And you will, like I say, you might want to go to the Short Film Festival coming up. That's not till June 19th through 25th. So, all right. That was, I made that pretty open. I don't normally do that, but this is now you're going to totally confuse Sean because he has to figure out what you want. All right, this segment is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. For everything is free over there at the Braille Institute. Take advantage of it. They have an extensive library of books on tape, just great stuff, and a computer room that will just, wow, knock your socks off. 760-321-1111. That's 760-321-1111. All right. A passenger was subdued because he was unruly and naked on a flight. Yeah, really? He was watching a movie, decided to take his clothes off and run up and down the aisle. And this was at Anchorage, Alaska, passenger on Alaska Airlines where this happened. You know what? Passengers are getting tired of all this stuff now. They actually confronted the guy. A couple of guys just grabbed him. They held him down. They came over. The jet had to land 45 minutes later. And really, what was this guy thinking? They said he was watching a movie. And next thing you know, he starts, they didn't really even notice him taking his clothes off. You would think the people sitting next to him would. But anyway, this some of this stuff is crazy out there. What is happening on these flights? And I don't even know why. But you know what? Hats off to the guys that said, right, enough's enough. We're not taking any chances. And they grabbed the guy and, you know, probably naked. They obviously saw that he didn't have a gun. All right. Sean, we have a winner.
Yes, you do. You have Eddie in Palm Springs.
Okay. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Françoise. Thank you so much for
how you doing?
Allowing to pick which prize, a gift. It's so nice and so generous. The Short Film Fest, of course, is awesome every year. So,
okay. Have you been to the Cabot's Pueblo Museum?
You know what? Many years ago, but I think haven't they restored some of it?
Yes.
In the last 10 years?
They have restored, and they've also added a new wing, and it just looks really good. If I send you two tickets, will you go?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm adding two tickets to the Cabot to your. What do you think about
that? Yeah, so awesome. I'll take some photos, too.
Because I just don't understand why people, they don't know what the historical value the Cabot has to the Coachella Valley and just desert life in general. It really is fascinating when you go over there.
Absolutely, and as well as the living desert. You know, the hiking trails behind, it's in the living desert. It's part of the whole living desert.
We are just
park.
Really spoiled.
But they have lovely hiking trails, too, just FYI.
Oh, they do. And by the way, just want to give you a heads up on the vouchers for the film festival. I have to go pick them up next week. So as soon as I get them, I'll drop it all in the mail, okay?
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Françoise.
Right. Thanks, Eddie. You have a
nice
great day.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. See, you never know what's going to happen when you call the show. Just in a very giving mood. So there you go. So Eddie has now. Now I'm trying to get people. I'm going to make people go to the Cabot, Sean. I'm just going to get them to the Cabot Pueblo Museum.
I think that's a great idea.
There you go. All right, here we go. We were talking about the naked and unruly guy on a flight, which they subdued him. Spirit Airlines will be the first ultra-low-cost carrier now to offer in-flight Wi-Fi. Spirit Airlines is introducing this introducing a new fee, but it's an option for the carrier that they think customers will be happy about. Because even though the fares are really low and the fee won't be that much, but they're going to equip their entire 120 planes with Wi-Fi by next summer. So that's good news. Right now, you had some airplane news to tell us about. What is it?
I did. I saw something and it made me think of you.
Okay.
It is a service being offered by LAX.
Yeah.
And it's called the Private Suite.
private suite.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The website is theprivatesuite.com.
Okay.
So what it is basically exactly what the name says, is it's a private suite while you wait for your plane. But like to the max. Like this is like luxury travel stuff.
This is for those. And we have people in the Valley that can easily afford this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That would want to. So you don't have to. Now, you said they'll drive you out to the jet?
Yeah. So you enter the airport in a separate section so you can avoid the paparazzi. That's one of their plugs on there. I don't know if that's a huge thing for you, but, you know, it's one of the things they got.
Yeah.
And there's eight people that staff.
Oh.
So you have eight people that are helping you in pretty much every little piece of the way to where they take care of all your bags, and then they escort you to a room, and then the room has a view of the tarmac, which in their pictures looks nice, doesn't sound great. But the pictures make it look pretty nice. You know, it's a really nice little suite.
I'm one of those, when I'm at an airport, I really enjoy watching the planes land and take off.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah,
a lot of people do.
Why we're there. It builds up the excitement.
I remember even when I was a kid, my mom would take me to the airport just to watch.
My dad, same thing.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. And I still, when I'm driving near an airport, I have to pay attention I don't get in a wreck because I'm always looking to see, oh, are they taking off or is he landing or where are they? And then I get into dream of where are they going? So, all right, theprivatesuite.com. Does it say any pricing on?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you more, though. They said that on average to get through LAX for a flight, it's about 2,200 steps. Through their private suite, it's about 70. Because you have private TSA that you go through.
Okay.
They take care of all your bags for you.
Yep.
And then, like you were saying with the tarmac, when your flight comes, a little 7 Series BMW pulls up to your suite and takes you on the tarmac directly to the door of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And you board.
Oh, boy. This is a tough one to call the figure on. I want to say, and I know it's not even going to be close, but I kind of feel in that $10,000 a flight.
It's way less than that.
Oh,
so that sounds good. Then,
okay,
right?
Well then that's not bad.
Well, there's an annual membership fee.
Yeah.
So there's two prices. So you have the membership fee of $4,500.
Not bad.
Right. But once you pay that $4,500, the domestic one way is $2,700.
Okay.
And the international is $3,000.
Okay.
So you tax on a little penny, and if you don't have that membership, it's only $35 and $4,000.
Well, there you go.
So.
Well, I'm gonna talk to them, and maybe they're...
I think you should. I think you should go check it out.
Do a show from there.
Yeah,
and I'll be in the suite, and you'll be sitting here going, "Gee, that was my idea." Thanks a lot, Francis.
Well, like you said, I think there's people out here that would do it.
Oh, definitely.
An airport is a headache.
Yeah,
you know, no matter what, you know, it's a headache. It's just one of those things.
We have for music festivals, a lot of the big events here. People, of course, we see all the corporate jets over at Palm Springs International, but that's just a smattering of them. You go out to the Thermal Airport in Jacqueline Cochran. They have to put those private jets all over the place because there's so many of them.
Yeah, and if you drive around that area, if you get into like the date fields and stuff, there's massive houses hidden back there.
Yeah.
They're just kind of tucked away from the valley, but still in the valley.
So they fly in. They get their celebrities aren't bothered by anybody.
Right.
They don't have the traffic going from Palm Springs through. So interesting what happens in East Valley that a lot of people don't even know about. So, okay, private suite it is. I'm booked. I'm ready. I'm going to check it out and see if I can do a show from there.
I think you should. I think it would be awesome.
All right. Well, speaking of the airport, the TSA has created a watch list now of individuals who have engaged in disruptive or aggressive behavior at airport screening checkpoints. The list, the existence of the TSA confirmed Thursday after it was revealed in a New York Times article, has currently less than 50 people on it.
Wow.
So that's not bad, but you wouldn't want to be on this list. This applies no additional screening to the individual. It just is simply an awareness that somebody is going through the checkpoint that has demonstrated concerning assaultive behavior in the past to our officers. So this guy that just got thrown off the plane for running naked around on that Alaska Airlines, his name will be on that list.
He's probably 51 right now.
Yeah, he's going to He's going to be number 51. So that is something new with TSA, which makes sense to me because there are some people that just are going to be combative no matter what they do in life. It's just their deal. All right, over half of millennials, 56% they said they are more likely to travel more this summer, whereas only 35% of Generation Xers and 22% of baby boomers said they were more likely to vacation in 2018. The survey defined the millennials as those 18 through 34, the Generation X 35 to 54, and the baby boomers are 55 and plus. So you notice they don't talk a lot about the Generation Xers that much. It seems to sort of jump from the millennials to the baby boomers. And they say that millennials are also more likely to spend more on upcoming vacations. 34% plan to spend over $5,000 on an upcoming vacation. It's a lot.
It is a lot, but you want to have fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, and here in the case of, as in the case in national parks and on open waters, possessing cannabis in any form within the U.S. airports or on commercial aircraft falls under federal jurisdiction. Remember this. As a result, it is illegal, pure and simple. This is very confusing for a lot of people.
But okay, but I get it, but why is it confusing? I don't understand why people are like, oh, it's legalized, so it's like suddenly there's no rules attached to it.
Well, what they're saying, though, the realities of actually traveling with pot or cannabis-infused substances are not at all simple. As with all things cannabis, the issue of enforcement is a murky one. They say that TSA agents are looking for many things, but cannabis simply isn't one of them.
And it shouldn't be that high on the list. They should watch for it, but not actively look for it.
No.
I think would be the best way to go.
They said at the very least, it is not a high priority. So this would probably go back to if you're obnoxious and giving the guys a bad time, that they have the right to say, oops, illegal.
Right.
Go sit down. We're dumping everything out of your suitcase. And so if you have that with you, I'm not suggesting. I'm just saying that just calmly go through the checkpoint. And
what's funny, though, is that they'll give you the alcohol and that will make you more belligerent than the weed will.
Everywhere you go now, you sit there and go, it smells like a skunk. Oh, no, it's not. That's, whatever.
That's the way of life now.
Okay, we'll be right back. We have a lot more travel stuff to talk about. And, that's it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. We are in the travel portion of the show, and this segment of the show is brought to you by Angel View Mart throughout the Coachella Valley. You don't need a lot of stuff when you're out traveling, whether in your RV, your boat, on your motorcycle, whatever, even on a cruise ship, you don't need a lot. So take what you don't need, gently new and used items to Angel View Mart. Let them sell them and make money to help fund all these great programs that they have, their homes and whatnot, and they help serve clients with life-changing disabilities. Go to the website angelview.org for more information. All right, we'll move right along with some more travel news. Carnival Cruise Line said it plans to offer a 2019 cruise of 24 days, the longest in its 46-year history. The Trans-Pacific cruise is scheduled to depart Long Beach on October 5th and arrive in Singapore on October 30th. So I'd book it now, because it's going to sell out. Sounds like a fun trip. All right. The voyage aboard the Carnival Splendor will feature extended ports of call in Maui and Honolulu. Oh, this is that same trip. Yes. All right. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a fun trip. Right. They're planning on these long-haul cruises. I tell you, cruising is the way to go. If you've never been on one, don't let the stories of old where you're worried about just eating and not doing anything. That is so bygone era. Now they have everything on board you can imagine, from water slides to basketball courts to go-kart racing places, of course, casinos and spas and gyms and all types of restaurants. Just, I don't know. It's a world. They're just traveling cities is what they are. Virgin Voyages on Wednesday unveiled the design of six public areas of its ship, the first time that it has detailed the new cruise brand's features. Among the new spaces will be Richard's Rooftop, of course, Virgin Airlines. Now they have the Virgin Cruise Ships. It will be an outdoor club reserved for suite guests. Virgin said it will have a futuristic look with circular lounges, large umbrellas, and accents of some sort of glass, which will cast rainbow-colored reflections across the lounge. The club is named after Virgin Group founder Richard Branson. The Virgin ship, which is scheduled to debut in 2020, will have a nightclub called The Manor, a nod to the name of the first music studio associated with Virgin Records. The club's color theme will be aubergine and emerald with gold accents. All right. Well, there you go. Getting into the cruise world, Richard Branson is. They see, even though Hurricane Irma forced the closures of its theme parks and airports and filled its hotels with displaced evacuees, a record-setting 72 million tourists still flocked to Orlando area last year, the tourism officials said. The 5% year-over-year increase in visitors was powered by domestic travelers, while visits from international travelers remain soft. With those numbers, Orlando held on to its title as the most visited destination in the United States. I don't get it. Okay, frankly, I don't. It can't be just Disney World and all this stuff.
Right.
Orlando.
I didn't know it was the number one spot.
I know. In fact, I was just looking through some of my other notes. What did I do with those? About what is the number one? I have a list here. Now, here it says top 20 travel destinations. It has Washington, D.C. as one and Orlando as number two. But it's still right up there at the top. Yeah, I guess I'm missing something. I guess I need to go to Florida again and check it out. I've
See
been there.
See what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, and I don't know. But obviously, it has a lot. It's theme parks, airports, hotels, whatnot. People are flocking there. Of course, they do have good commercials. I mean, they make it look like a lot of fun along the beach, but interesting. All right, and Las Vegas. It was supposed to be a record-shattering year for Las Vegas, the fourth in a row to hit a new high mark and perhaps the first ever to crest 43 million visitors to the desert city. But when the year-end stats were tallied, visitors' volume in 2017 was 42.2 million, well off of the 2016 high of 42.9 million. But we do have to cut Las Vegas some slack.
Right.
Yeah. With that tragedy that happened, that really cast a huge shadow for quite a while. It took, you know, people were nervous, and rightly so. And now they're just so. I think they really ought to throw these stats right out the window and forget about them.
Right.
For even though it's easy for me to say, but. It just doesn't seem to balance out. And it says, with the lighting of a new marquee and hotel tower signs, the Monte Carlo Las Vegas is now officially the Park MGM. Well, good, because the last time I stayed at the Monte Carlo, it was horrible. There was mold around the windows, and it was just really needed to be completely redone.
Some of those hotels are getting old.
They are getting old, and it's hard with that many people in and out, in and out, in and out. I mean, the turnover is so fast all the time. For them to shut down an entire floor, it's difficult.
Right. Well, because they're still living on the name.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's getting old and people are, you know, probably complaining some, but it's still that name, that brand that makes it hard.
It's all gone now. It is now Park MGM, so we'll see how they do. But they did a total refresh, so they definitely need it. All right, Spirit Airlines will be the first U.S. ultra-low-cost carrier. I did talk about that earlier. All right, so we already talked about that one, about their Wi-Fi system. All right, let's see what some of our sponsors are doing. Donna Calise with Dana Wharf Sport Fishing and Whale Watching. She sends me pictures all the time. I try to post them on Facebook. They're seeing a lot of gray whales out there, a lot of action. Of course, you know, migration is going on. It's going to be over with pretty soon because the whales migrate back up north to the cooler waters. They get out of the warm waters of Mexico and go back up north into the Alaska area. So they are still, though, there's still some migration going on with a lot of the whales, the mamas and their babies are now making the trek. You know, they have to wait till their babies are strong enough. So they're going up. And of course, you're going to see a lot of dolphins and stuff. So if you want to do something fun for Father on Father's Day, get him a sport fishing day. Do either a half day or full day sport fishing with Dana Wharf. I know a lot of dads would be totally shocked that you got them that. Especially if you know that they were fishermen at one point.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if they just enjoy it.
Yeah, they just enjoy once in a while. So Father's Day is coming. Go to danawharf.com. And so you can sign up online. You can buy all your stuff online. Just really easy to get to. So that is one suggestion for you to do. All right. Here's something else. Ave Maria Pilgrimage. They have this great trip led by Father Donald Craig, October 1st through 10th. This is to the Holy Land. It is $3,400 per person, double occupancy. They do have single room rates as well. This is an English-speaking tour guide, a daily mass, Bethlehem Holy Family Hotel or similar sightseeing tours. This really is a spiritual experience, is what I'm going to say. They say a spiritual renewal. And again, this happens through AveMariaPilgrimage.com. Their information is on the website Traveling with Françoise, along with many. Go to their website because they have all sorts of different tours coming up. Nada, we're going to get Nada back on the show, but she's probably right now in Lourdes Fatima. And they just left on May 17th. They're going to go to Croatia in June, on June 1st, the Holy Land in July, Italy in September. They have some great trips. So go to their website, Guadalupe. So if you want a little bit more of a spiritual type of trip, because they're just a little bit different on where they stay and what they see and what they do, definitely give them a call at AveMariaPilgrimage.com. I think you're going to find it quite fun and quite fascinating. So definitely. Of course, we talked about the Borrego Springs Golf Resort and Spa. They are open for the summer. Don't think they're closing down. They're out there in Borrego Springs and everything's ready to go. The only thing that might close down a little bit later on during the summer, of course, for reseeding and all that, well, it will close down, is the golf course. But that's when it gets really, really hot and heavy. ACT, Adult Customized Tours, they have a ton of stuff going on. They have a trip. I'm going to be in Vegas for a couple days, so I wish I could go, but I'm not going to. They're going to do a discovery tour, the Salton Sea and Wild Bird Center, $65 per person on May 30th. If you've never been, go, because the person that's going to be leading the guide, the guide that's going to be leading the tour, I think that makes more sense, is Patsy Meister, and she is the president of the Friends of the Salton Sea.
Okay.
And she's great because I'm on that board, and they work the volunteer center over at the Salton Sea State Recreation Area. I mean, they live up in that area. Right. They've lived there a long time. They look at the sea every single day. They know that place like the back of their hand. So it's going to be a great, great day trip. They also have the Coachella Valley Wild Bird Center. You're going to go there as well. So this is May 30th, $65 per person. I know the bus is close to full, but give them a call, 760-322-1247. That sounds like a great trip. Now, their King Tut trip to the California Science Center. Yeah, now Steve's finally saying, Françoise, I need to go to some of the places you do. They are taking probably a couple bus loads now on different days. They have August 5th and October 14th to see King Tut Treasures of the Golden Pharaoh. And it's the 100th anniversary exhibition. And this will be, we're also the Endeavor Space Shuttle Pavilion. This is going to be really exciting. So this is happening, $85 in August. So again, call Adult Customized Tours. And they have so much going on there. They have a trip, Super Saver trip, first class, to Waikiki Ocean View. Well, you know, that'll be interesting right now. That's going to be later on in August, so you might be interested in that. They have their Horticulture Society day trips. They also have an overnight stay in Catalina in June 27th through the 28th. Again, lots and lots of things to do, places to go, people to see. Give them a call, Adult Customized Tour, 322-1247. All right, on that note, we're going to step aside, and we still have some more different kinds of experiences that you might want to hear about. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. It is just Sean and I today catching us up on a bunch of travel news and things to do out there. We haven't had a show without a guest for a while. Next week, Deanne LaBelle joins us to talk about her trip to Thailand. She just got back from Thailand, and this was really a different trip for her because she's used to kind of traveling in style. You know, we're staying at the nice hotels in your downtown. We're shopping and all that sort of stuff going on. Do a few little adventures, and that's about it.
Right.
But this time she went with someone who actually has been a guide over there several times. And they were out in the backwoods of everything. I'm looking at pictures of her where the mosquitoes and the bugs. But she said it was a trip of a lifetime. She'll never forget. I mean, hiked.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, 6 miles to go back in to an area, to a city, hiked back in there.
Wow.
Just, yeah, things like that. So this is not, the more I was looking at her post, it was more interesting. You could see how when you do things like that, your whole idea, too, of traveling sometimes changes. It's nice to have all the luxury.
Right.
But when you see things such as what she was seeing,
you get to kind of really experience the area.
Yeah. I mean, it's a completely different, I would like a little bit of both. Yeah, a little bit of both is fine, but not too much. And I don't want to hike everywhere I go. It would take me 6 miles to get there.
Right.
Anyway, here are some different trips I found that you might have an interest in. Wild Women Expeditions, the leader and trailblazer of women-only travel. They are hosting one of the world's largest women-only paddling events this summer near Toronto, Canada. It's the fifth annual Women of the Water Festival, which is expected to draw up to about 120 women. So it's not this gigantic, overly big event. June 8th through 10th, you still have time to sign up if you want to the shores of Lake Huron on the Georgian Bay for a weekend focused on learning water-concentrated skills while bonding with other women. It's $339 per person, and that includes a bunkhouse accommodations at the camp and meals. And all sorts of stuff. You have to get yourself there. But 2 days of paddling lessons, workshop and activities. They support to arrange carpools with other participants. Guests supply their own sleeping bags and pillow. So, I don't know. That could be interesting for some folks. So, again, that is Wild Women Expeditions, their fifth annual Women on the Water Festival. Here's something for those of you that collect watches. And, yes, I do know some people that just... their world revolves around these wristwatches that they have. Well, here, this might be the tour for you. It's a new 9-day luxury watchmaker's tour of Switzerland and Germany. And the travel service Sicasso is giving a whole new meaning to the phrase time travel. The tour takes travelers through the Swiss cities of Geneva and a bunch of different places, Zurich, as well as some as Germany's Black Forest region. Clients will learn about the history of watchmaking during a variety of excursions, including a visit to the world's largest cuckoo clock, a tour of Audemars Piguet, I think it's Piguet, Museum in Le Brosses. Oh, my gosh. I'm just butchering all these. Anyway, which, let's see, Burns Astronomical Clock, which inspired Albert Einstein in developing the theory of relativity, and a workshop that allows guests to reassemble watches under the guidance of expert clockmakers.
It sounds like fun. I'm not even into watches. It sounds like fun.
I mean, that would be a completely different type of trip. The rate for this 9-day trip begins at $4,500 per person.
Okay.
Which probably doesn't sound too bad if you're going to all these places.
Yeah, if you're going to so many places.
Yeah, and if you're really into watches to see some of these things. Yeah, I thought, interesting. So if you have an interest in this, the company is... Sicasso, Z-I-C-A-S-S-O.com, Sicasso. And it's the Keepers of Time Watchmakers Tour in Switzerland and Germany. Phew, gosh, that's a mouthful. But, I saw that and I thought, well, there's something for everyone is what it shows you.
Oh, yeah.
You can think of a trip that you want to go to. I bet if you do a little bit of research, you will find somebody out there that offers it.
I think so.
Yeah. But that was a little bit surprising. But I do know people that are just fascinated by watches. I'm just looking at the picture here and know I would need to have like 5 pairs of glasses on to be able to see all these tiny little parts.
To see anything.
Yeah. You'd have to have those big jewelry glasses and stuff that you drop down because these parts are tiny. It is between the picture I'm looking at is between 2 fingers of a man. It looks like obviously a man's fingers. And it looks small compared to their fingers. Yeah. All right. That's one thing. And our national parks. Let's talk a little bit about our national park. There's a foundation out there called nationalparks.org. And the National Park Foundation was established over 50 years ago by an act of Congress. And they raised private funds to help the National Park Service keep parks thriving and accessible for all people. They also initiate and fund projects that protect historic sites, wildlife, habitats, trails, and more, and they connect people from all walks of life to our national parks. They say they are the only official national nonprofit partner of the National Park Service and the official charity of America's national parks. And the sad truth is, and that's probably this is why I pulled this out, the sad truth is that the government funding falls short. We know that. Right now, there is a $11.7 billion maintenance backlog in the national park system.
Wow.
$11.7 billion. So I don't even know how they would even catch up.
I the thing is, with those kind of numbers, is that I feel like it's just numbers they make up anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When it comes to I don't want to say to the government, but when it comes to state-funded mm-hmm. stuff like that, you know, it's the joke is, you know, a roll of toilet paper that costs $20.
That's true.
You know, and I think that's what causes those big, giant numbers.
You know, and why does the public need to pay to keep the national parks open that were designated by the government?
Right.
I see this with the Friends of the Salton Sea, the Salton Sea State Recreation Area out there. It's a state park, and with all the attention on the Salton Sea, they get more and more visitors all the time.
Right.
Well, because they don't have volunteers, they don't want to pay people to man it, right, to keep the visitor center open. They depend on volunteers. Summer comes, well, people don't want to volunteer.
Right.
So it just is closed.
And then nobody wins.
And no one, right. No one wins. It makes no sense because I don't know, sometimes the Salton Sea, again, we hear this over and over, it just feels like that the bad child that no one wants to pay attention to.
Right.
Yeah, just ignore it. And really, there's so much attention. I have Google alerts on the Salton Sea. I must get 10 a day or more.
Really?
Of the Salton Sea being mentioned, probably even more because I don't even look at them all anymore and see what they talk. But the Salton Sea is mentioned in some news article somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't get it. I don't get it. Don't get it. Don't get it. So anyway, if you want to help the national parks, you can go to their nationalparks.org if you would like to help out. And maybe you can send your donation to certain areas of the park that you would like to help. And like keeping the restrooms clean or something. I don't know. To help you out there. And here's something that I haven't been to in a long time, and park admission is free. It is the Tall Trees Trail in Northern California, Redwood National Park. Have you been there?
I have not.
Well, when you're driving up north, you're going to have to go there. It's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. The world's largest tree looms nearby. It's a 4-mile round-trip trail. It descends gently until it levels near the Redwood Creek and loops through an old growth trail. And anyway, they have also a loop for cars, too. The tallest of the 1,000-year-old redwoods is 379 feet high. It's a Hibernian. And it isn't in the grove, though. Park officials won't tell you where that tree is.
Well, yeah.
Because they don't want people going over there and scratching their
right.
name on it or whatever.
Right. Or yeah. some other nonsense.
I know. Or killing it. They won't tell you where that tree is. Can you imagine that tree, though, 1,000 years old? And they won't let you know. But there's a lot of wonderful trees there. They say giant after giant rows of trees soar with over 300 feet high. They said they're just beautiful. And I remember going there as a kid. Its park admission is free. And it is... they have the Thomas Kuchel Visitor Center. So anyway, it is another national park, but you might want to go there to the Redwood National Park right here in California. So
I feel
take
like Jasmine's been there.
Has she? Probably.
I could be wrong, but I think she's gone out there with the Girl Scouts.
Probably, because it is very, very popular. That's why now they don't tell people where all the really good trees are, because they don't want to. But they do have areas for picnics and all sorts of stuff in there. But it is, they say that they're getting so many visitors, though, that now that it's starting to damage the flora in the area. So one thing leads to another. They need the money from the visitors to pay for everything, but then the visitors ruin everything. So
right.
Okay. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up. I don't want to start on wacky packing or anything like that. We'll save that for another day. Thank everybody for listening. I hope we inspired you to get out there and be adventurous and go do something that you've never done before, or do something that you haven't done since you were a kid and see if it's just as fun. But there's so much out there in the world to take advantage of. And a lot of it's so close to home right here. You don't have to go that far. Now, remember Traveling with Francoise on television Thursdays at noon on Fox 11 and Friday mornings at 5:30 a.m. Fox 11. That is a repeat of the Thursday show. We should have a new show out this week. So I am excited. We'll see if it tantalizes your taste buds, something completely different. So until next time, everybody have a great week. We will be back next week with more info about the Palm Springs Short Film Festival and hear about Deanne's trip to Thailand. And Sean, thanks for everything. Congratulations to our winners. And as always, remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.